listening to the premier Boston Red Sox podcast. Welcome to the Lone Red Sea. Here's your hosts, Ian Barber and Ryan Blazron.
Hey guys, as always, Lone Red Sea is brought to you by Standing O Sports. Visit them at standingosports.com.
Got a great show for you today, guys. Going to talk about the Red Sox series against Tampa Bay, in which they unfortunately dropped 2 out of 3. And, you know, let's get right to it, Ryan. We thought this might be a series that they could take 2 out of 3, and they just didn't. I mean, they do win the first game, though, with Lackey going out there, giving them a solid start. His first good start in a couple of games, you know?
Yeah, that was a big start from John Lackey to give the Red Sox, you know, bring him 8 innings, which is, you know, huge with, you know, getting that bullpen some rest and stuff. Just went out there and pitched really great, actually. Red Sox put together a great 6th inning to put Lackey in line for the win. And then Muheka comes in for the 9th. He's been really disappointing lately.
Yeah, he sucks, dude.
He gave up 2 runs, so.
He's bad, dude.
Yeah, we were wrong on him for sure.
I mean, his ERA is right at exactly 10, so double-digit ERA is probably not going to get you anywhere. But, yeah, after the Red Sox won this game, like, I was feeling pretty good. I was like, all right, this is going to get us to over 500. This is going to be the one. And I really thought that they could capitalize on that. But then you go into game 2, and Red Sox drop that one 2-1, and this is just another game that, like, they had a chance, and these are the games that they won last year, but they didn't win this one, and they haven't been winning these games this year.
Yeah, I mean, they forced Cesar Ramos to throw, like, 40 pitches in that first inning, load the bases, and they'd already scored 1 run on him, and I'm like, wow, they're going to blow this game open early. It's a doubleheader. We're just going to, you know, slaughter this Rays bullpen during this, you know, doubleheader. And he ends up giving up 1 hit all game, that 1 hit in that first inning. Only goes 4 2/3 because the Red Sox worked up his pitch count, but he worked around 6 walks, and the Red Sox just couldn't put another run across the board and waste a great start from Jake Peavy.
Yeah, I mean, Peavy again, man, just going out there and battling. I mean, we've pretty much given Peavy his praise now. I mean, we were hard on him earlier in the year, but it's just pretty much expected that he's going to go out there and give the Red Sox a chance to win these days, which is great. So I think a good question would be, given the Red Sox struggles, if you're Ben Charrington and you have free reign, you can get anyone. You can sign them. You don't even have to trade for them. Maybe you do have to trade for them, but John Henry comes to you and says, trade the farm, I don't care, get us a bat. Who in the MLB are you getting?
A bat?
A bat.
Man, throw me for a loop. I was going to say pitcher.
All right, no, let's bring pitcher into it. Because I'm a fan of getting Dubron out of the rotation, so
okay.
We can...
Jose Fernandez.
Okay.
I don't think there's any doubt in my mind. A guy that young, with that much talent, who's proven himself now... already having that guy in the rotation, that would be unbelievable.
Oh god, it would be insane. And I mean, he's pretty much untouchable, but like we said, the question was if you had no holds barred,
right?
And my guy would actually be from the Marlins too, and it'd be Giancarlo Stanton.
And this is more realistic,
right? Because really both of them are kind of, I mean, we're being extremely optimistic Red Sox fans right now, but both of them are kind of realistic just because of the type of team the Marlins are. I mean, they're not going to be able to sign Jose Fernandez and Giancarlo Stanton to huge contracts.
Giancarlo's gone, man.
Yeah, so if I could go out and get one guy, it'd be Giancarlo Stanton, just a young guy.
We need a trustworthy power bat in the lineup, and we don't have that.
We need someone that's going to hit. He's guaranteed to hit 30 to 40 home runs if he's healthy, maybe even more. So that would be the guy that I would get.
And that fills a spot out there in the outfield that we could definitely afford to fill. I mean, it's not, you know, signing a second baseman and we have to lose a Pedroia, you know. We're filling a spot we would like to fill.
Yeah, and that the corner outfield thing, like I'm not a fan of having Sizemore in left field at all, just because your corner outfielder is supposed to be like a power bat that's going to be a plus offensive player, and Sizemore is not really that.
He should be, but he's not.
But yeah, and so Red Sox actually lose this one 2-1, like just another close game that they lost, and they had a call with Pedroia coming to the plate on a David Ortiz double, and you know, this is a 2-1 game. This is a big run. And you knew not many more runs were going to be scored. And he's coming to the plate. He's coming from first base. They send him. Butterfield sends him from third. And to me, it looked like he was safe. I thought it was, you couldn't see the top of the plate because it was covered by dirt. But to me, it was pretty clear that he got his toe in there before Molina got the tag on. And the call was clearly he didn't touch the plate, and that's why he was out. But I thought he did, and so John Farrell comes out and challenges it, and surprise, surprise, gets it wrong yet again.
So,
and I mean,
I want to bring this to a larger point. Red Sox have run into a lot of outs this season. And
yeah, they have.
Maybe this
one
was. Maybe he was.
We didn't get to talk about it much, but that Baltimore series, they pretty much ran themselves out of a couple wins.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what is going on. I mean, the Red Sox pride themselves on smart base running. I mean, maybe we don't have the fastest team this year, but we're supposed to have smart base runners up there, and they're running into a lot of outs.
Yeah, and but I actually think it was the right call for Butterfield to send him in that situation.
Yeah, in the seventh inning, I think that late in the game. You gotta take
two, so I thought he was safe, first of all. And then, so we get back into this instant replay thing, and it's really just getting extremely frustrating to watch as a Red Sox fan. And, I mean, what would you change about the system if you had the chance to?
I mean, it seems to me like this whole, like, you know, stick with the call on the field if you can't really tell, like, well, what if you're leaning towards the fact that he is safe? Like, I mean, it's not like the fact that you made the call on the field. Like, the instant replay is supposed to be much better than seeing it on the field. So it's like, why are you supposed to just go with a call on the field? Like, you're going to instant replay for a reason. Like, if you think...
Yeah, and all sports do it like
yeah,
that. But baseball kind of seems... worse to a degree.
I think they're scared, to be honest with you. I think
they're
scared to go call a play that they're not 100% sure to.
And there was a stat the other day about just the percentage of replays that have been overturned, confirmed, or call stands.
Yeah.
And the call stands was like definitely the highest percentage. Just, oh, we didn't have enough evidence, but we're pretty sure the call on the field is okay.
It's really
and like you said, like that's a great point. The call on the field shouldn't even be.
You're going to video, like, because you couldn't tell.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So
damn.
Red Sox are just getting killed by this, man. And it sucks.
So another point about this whole Pedroia thing, we see Bryce Harper goes, slides headfirst, you know, hurts his thumb out. Josh Hamilton, same thing. If Pedroia slides headfirst, he's safe. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I think he should have slid headfirst.
So you think he should have? You think it's worth that injury risk?
Well, I don't think you're really risking it as much going headfirst at the plate as you are
on another base.
I guess if you're taught to slide,
but with the catcher's feet there, I mean, that's still. I
would have liked to see the old hook slide.
Yeah, not
yeah, probably. So yeah, Red Sox lose that one in pretty tough fashion.
So they lose another game with a chance to get above 500.
Yeah. So that makes them 0-7.
I think 0-8.
0-8 in games that they have a chance to get to above 500. And, you know, this is just something we could talk about, too. Like, last year's team never had this problem. You know, they went...
They won these games. And,
what, 18-5 out of the gate, and never really had to worry about this problem. And so they're going to... Red Sox are going to have to play from behind. And that brings us to the question, like, is this the real Red Sox team that we're going to see, or... are we going to start seeing some of more of the last year's Red Sox?
I mean, we lost some guys, so this is definitely a different team. And it's a younger team. And I don't know. I think they are going to be – they're not going to be in first for a while, I don't think. I think that the Red Sox have got a pretty steep uphill climb for the next couple months. I think they will work out these kinks, but we've seen, we're into May now, and this Red Sox team doesn't look that much. They look a little bit closer to turning around, but they don't look like where I thought they'd be. Even after we saw that April, you know, halfway through April, I'm like, all right, you know, this has got to change, but it still hasn't. And we've got a pretty large sample size going now.
Yeah. I think the main thing is the hitting's going to come around. But what's not going to come around is the defense. Like, I think that's going to be a problem all year. I mean,
where is it stemming from, though?
Probably a lot Bogarts. I mean, Middlebrooks isn't that good at third.
But he's improved from last year. He's a better defender this year than he was last year.
Will Middlebrooks has played, like, 10 games.
But he... like, if you watch spring training, he's an improved defender.
Okay, great, but he still's not, like, I wouldn't even say he's a good defender.
I wouldn't say good, but, like, I mean, I guess we had Iglesias manning that corner a lot.
So Iglesias and Drew covered up some holes on the left side of that infield.
Steven Drew was one of the most underrated defenders in the league last year.
I know, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, that's you throw Bogarts in there, and that's going to give you some problems. I mean, I'm a fan of just letting him work it out, but what I'm saying is, like, you're going to be seeing this all year. This isn't just an anomaly. Bogarts he hasn't been a great fielder for his entire career.
Right, but what about the outfield? I mean, you tweeted out yesterday, or the other day, you thought Jackie Bradley Jr. is a better defender than Jacoby Ellsbury, so why are we seeing more errors out in the outfield?
I do think Jackie Bradley is a better defender than Jacoby Ellsbury. I stand by that. I think he is equally adept at getting to balls. Maybe Ellsbury's maybe I'd give him a tiny edge with just like the speed factor. But Jackie Bradley Jr. gets incredible jumps on balls, and he has an arm that we haven't seen in center field since I literally can't even remember when. I mean, Johnny Damon had the arm of a female, and Ellsbury had, like, average to below average arm. So
below average, let's be real.
Below average arm, okay. Not as below average as Johnny Damon.
I 100% agree that Jackie Bradley Jr. has a cannon of an arm, and it is head and shoulders above Jacoby Ellsbury. But Jacoby Ellsbury, that didn't result in errors, you know? That'll save you some runs. But we're seeing...
Do you see Jacoby in the World Series, dude? He made a couple errors.
We're seeing bobbles out there. We're seeing misplays on our home field.
Yeah, but not by Bradley.
No, and I'm talking about the outfield as a whole right now.
Okay, let me get into the outfield as a whole. Daniel Nava accounted for 4 of those errors himself in, like, the 15 or 20 games he was up here.
Look where that put him.
Yeah. So having Victorino back is a great thing for that outfield, and him being in right field just it saves runs, frankly. I mean, he's, as opposed to having Nava out there, just the range factor is huge. And then so you got Sizemore in left, and he made an error, not in this series but in the other series, and I don't know what to make of Sizemore.
He was a once gold glover, and he looks clueless in the outfield.
Yeah, I personally think he should wear long pants. Not a fan of the short pants on Grady Sizemore.
Is that related?
Yeah, That's why he's struggling. You can't go out there looking like that. You're not confident. He looks like a fool.
I don't know, man. Little League, I tried out those high socks, and I was a pretty damn good fielder, so.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay, let's get to game three. Red Sox lose this one by 1-2, 6-5. And they had a 5-2 lead in this one, too. And DuBrant, who I hate him. He actually pitched well. That hurts.
Well,
that hurts me to say.
Well, I mean, well.
He pitched well for DuBrant.
Okay, okay, okay. You have to include that. Well,
he pitched well for DuBrant.
You say Jose Fernandez pitched well. That's a different. You have to include.
Oh yeah.
DuBrant well.
True. You know how my feelings about Jose Fernandez too. If he doesn't go 8 innings, shutout, 14 strikeouts, I'm like, what are you doing out there,
exactly,
Jose?
So it's a relative term here.
Okay, so Felix DuBrant pitches well for Felix DuBrant.
Thank you.
He's still having some problems with giving up home runs, though. Luckily, so all three of the earned runs he gave up were on home runs, Desmond Jennings and Sean Rodriguez. And so that's something that he's definitely going to need to work on. I still think he sucks. I still think he should be sent down, but he gave him a chance to win in this one. Red Sox had a huge inning where they scored all their runs and they took that 5-2 lead. But the bullpen, Tozawa and Uehara didn't exactly hold it down, did they?
I mean, when was the last time? I mean, I guess they did in the Toronto series, too. They both gave up an earned run in the same game. But, like, when we go into the eighth inning with a lead, we expect to win. And this didn't happen last year.
Yeah, I'm going to give Tozawa and Uehara a pass.
Oh, definitely.
So Tozawa's ERA is at 2.25 and Coge is at 1.69. And so basically what that tells me is they finally just came back down to earth a little bit. I mean, they weren't going to knock
you up. It's unfortunate happened in the same game.
Yeah, it is. And it's unfortunate that happened in such a close game. But
we got to talk about Farrell with these bunts. I don't know about these bunts, man.
Yeah, I'm never... I think we've talked about this before. I'm never a fan of bunting in really that many situations at all. I mean, did Victorino lay down a bunt in the ninth against Balfour? I can't remember. But I think he did. And, you know, you just got a guy
that's struggling. That was in the first game. In this game, Victorino led off with a double.
Okay, you're right.
Ortiz got him over to third.
The bunt on third
and one out in a one-run game. If you don't,
that's what I was just going to say.
My God.
So they had it in the eighth inning too. They had a guy on third, one out, and Middlebrooks came up there and he couldn't get the job done. So it happened in the ninth too. They had a guy on third, one out, and they couldn't get him home. And what I see right there is the Red Sox aren't adjusting their approach at the plate with a guy on third and one out. It's great that they work the count all the time. That's what makes them one of the best offensive teams in baseball. But with a guy on third and one out, you gotta adjust your approach. You can't just go up there and take a couple pitches down Broadway that could be lifted into the outfield or just hit a grounder or literally do anything pretty much but strike out or pop out. And you have a run on the board. So, I don't want to say they're not trying to get the run home, because they clearly are. They're Major League Baseball players. They're professionals. But at the same time, I think they could benefit from adjusting their approach when you have that guy on third and you got to get him home.
It's a different mindset, and they don't look like they have that mindset when they're up there.
Yeah, and so Mike Napoli and Xander Bogaerts in the ninth. Xander Bogaerts more so. You might not have seen this, but he just watched two pitches. He had a five-pitch at-bat, only took the bat off his shoulder once, and that was to swing out a 1-0.
Yeah,
and
the guy struck out three times in one game.
Right, and you got to...
Great, you saw 28 pitches, but he struck out three times.
How do you go down not swinging on a called third strike to end the game? That's unacceptable.
100%.
There's no excuse for that. You can't go down not swinging to end the game. it was a close call, and it really could have gone either way, but you're protecting the plate with two strikes, two outs, bottom of the ninth. You have to.
Yep. And this Thursday, that losing both those games in a doubleheader in that fashion really hurts. I mean, the Red Sox were 13 and 14 going in. They could have been a game above 500 if they just hold on to both those games, but instead, 13 and 16, we're looking, we sweep Oakland and we're only 500. I mean,
I know, and we're probably not going to sweep Oakland.
No, we're probably going to lose 2 out of 3 to Oakland.
Oh, God. But you know what we, you know, the city of Boston does have something to kind of take their minds off. Although, the Bruins did drop the first game of their series last night.
They did.
In heartbreaking fashion, too, actually.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's sort of heartbreaking. I mean, they were never winning in this game, but they outplayed the Canadiens, no doubt. I mean, they almost doubled their shots, up over 50 shots for the game.
Yep.
But my question to you is, do you think that the Bruins making a playoff run will take some of the minds off of the Red Sox right during this stretch?
No, I don't.
No?
You have hockey fans and you have baseball fans.
But what about Boston fans?
No, I mean, like, it doesn't change the fact that the Red Sox are struggling, like.
But, like, for me personally last night, like, I mean, if I got Nesson down here, like, I would have been flipping back and forth, but, like, I just watched the entire Bruins game.
Yeah, I mean, the Bruins are fun to watch, but you're still going to check the box score and see that the Red Sox.
But, like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like for a general fan, I think this could take their mind off a little bit. I'm not saying,
I hope so, but it's not taking my mind off.
I'm not saying it's saying diehard fans are going to be like, oh, I'll just go watch the Bruins. I'll let the Red Sox work. I'll come back at the end of May, and they'll be in first place.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
No,
it just doesn't
I think
happen.
It'll take the pressure off at least a little bit.
Okay, so Red Sox have 13 and 16. They got the A's coming to town, looking to take 2 out of 3, which is, we always talk about taking 2 out of 3 because it's so huge. Buchholz versus Straley, game 1, Friday night. Lester Malone, day game on Saturday. And then Lackey versus Sonny Gray, Sunday at 1:35.
You're looking at
all these games are in Fenway.
You're looking at a great rubber match on Sunday.
Definitely a great rubber match. Sonny Gray is a stud.
Yeah, he is.
And we talk about some of the young pitchers in this league, and that's something that the Red Sox actually are kind of behind the eight ball on, is having great young pitchers. They have some good ones in the farm system, but
yeah, nobody.
You look around the league, and these young guys are just tearing it up. Jose Fernandez, Yu Darvish, Sonny Gray.
Your Daniel Ventura.
Oh, yeah, just unreal. Unreal arms. Red Sox are trying to get it done with veterans, and that might not be the best approach. But, hey, it hasn't been the pitching that's been hurting us.
No, I mean, you know, the Red Sox have given up a considerable amount of runs compared to the rest of the league, but you can't place even half the blame on the pitching.
No, and so, you know, you got the A's coming into town, and you're going to get a good look at what Moneyball looks like. And, yeah, that's a fun thing for me, to be able to see a team succeed with just having nothing, just pretty much a group of misfits.
Here's a stat for you to go off that. I saw a tweet the other day. Since the Rays changed their name from the Devil Rays to the Rays, guess what their record ranks in the majors since that day.
I saw your tweet, so second.
You would be correct, sir.
Yeah, that's unreal.
You've got
man.
Nothing.
The question I would ask you is, like, so if you're a guy and you have a chance to play for...
Ask if I'm a guy?
What?
You just ask if I'm a guy?
Yeah, are you?
I am.
Good. So you could play in Major League Baseball.
All right.
So, say you're a Major League Baseball player, and the Rays or the A's come up to you and offer you below market value. But you know you're going to get a chance to win.
I'm playing for the Rays. A's. Sorry.
You're playing for the let's say you're playing for the A's, cuz no one wants to play in the trough.
All right, truth.
But no one wants to play in Oakland Coliseum either. Anyways. You're going to play for the A's below market value, or you can go play for the Phillies for above market value, but you know they're going to be pretty brutal. What would you do?
See, this is always tough because, like, it's easy when this hypothetical money. But, like, really, in reality, if I accept – how good of a player am I? How good?
You're like
– am I Jared like Sultan, a $50 yeah. million dollar a year guy?
Yeah, you're Jared Saltamacchia.
All right. So if the Phillies are offering me $15 million a year, if I take $10 million to play for a winning team – is that $10 million? Am I not going to be able to live a good life if I take $10 million? Like, what is the difference between $10 million and $15
million? Here's my thing. Like, if
I just don't get it.
For me, like, I usually tend to agree with you, but I've thought about this, and, like, so many guys take the money.
Losing sucks.
I know, but so many guys take the money as opposed to winning.
Losing sucks, though. I'm too competitive to just be like, oh, I'll take $15 million and go suck somewhere.
But that tells me that, like, it'd be different if we had the money in front of us. And
maybe it would.
I would pretty much reserve my hometown discount to, like, a couple teams. I mean, I'd have to be going to, like, the Miami Heat of baseball in order to take any sort of discount.
Yeah. But what about, like, if you grew up an A's fan all your life, you get drafted by the A's, you go through their farm system, then what? Are you really going to take $5 million more a year to go play for some terrible team that you don't care about?
$5 million is an extra yacht, dude.
All right.
I'm just saying it's different.
I guess
when you
you're another one of those guys, man. I guess you're another Robinson Cano. I guess, well, he's not really. We can't really say Robinson Cano, but.
Okay, so Buchholz going to game one. Lester gave three. Lackey Lester gave two. Lackey gave three. Ryan, do you think they take three out of three?
Hell no.
Do you think they take two out of three?
No.
Wow. Who do you think's gonna? You think Lester?
I think they're gonna lose games one and three.
Buchholz and Lackey. I can see that, yeah, but
I don't see the offense scoring against Sonny Gray. Maybe one run.
Okay, I think they take games one and two, and I think they get another chance to get to above 500, and they go 0-8
in your boy Clay Buchholz.
Oh. 0-9 in those games. Oh, yeah, I do have faith in Clay Buchholz. Sue me, dude. I like Clay Buchholz a lot.
You're worth $5 million more than me.
Okay, so that brings us to our stat of the day. Ryan, what's your stat of the day? What do you got for Red Sox fans that's going to give them some insight into why they're playing like they are?
I don't know if this is going to do that, but first 19 games of the season, every single Red Sox game was decided by four runs or less.
Wow.
Last nine games, four have been decided by more than four runs.
Okay.
So does that mean the Red Sox are turning it around? I don't know. They've been on the wrong end of most of those.
No.
Yes.
I guess it doesn't. I saw their record in one run games, which is 3-7. That's terrible. Those are the games you need to. Those are almost always the games for every team that.
Yeah, you got to pull that Baltimore Orioles team and just win every single one-run game and win 17 straight next innings.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's what they have to do. My side of the day would be Red Sox had six guys last year that hit above 300.
Damn.
This year, they have a total, I'm not including Brock Hull, they have a total of zero guys hitting above 300. Big Poppy and Dustin Pedroia, who both hit over 300 last year, are hovering in the 250s. Mike Napoli is leading the team at 297. And then after that, it's Xander Bogaerts at 271.
That is abysmal.
So pretty much 95% of your team is hitting below 271. And we've talked about before the law of averages, and that just tells me that this team is going to come back. David Ortiz isn't going to hit 250. Dustin Pedroia isn't going to hit 250. They're going to start producing. Jackie Bradley might hit 228, though. I don't know.
I'm with you. I mean, you look at this team, this is a team who scored 57 more runs than any other team in baseball last year. And they lost Ellsbury, and that hurts. Sure, they lost Stephen Drew. Doesn't hurt that much. Sure, they lost Salty. Doesn't hurt that much.
Right.
This is a team that is middle of the road offense right now. That just can't continue. There's too many guys that have great career numbers that have proven themselves that are just having terrible years. That just can't continue.
You know, that's pretty much going to do it. We both hope the Red Sox get a few wins against the A's. It's going to be tough. The A's have some great pitching.
It's going to be a tough series for the hitters to turn around, but they got to. They've got to break out of that slump.
The first two, Straley and Malone, they're not that great. They both have ERAs hovering around 5. But Sonny Gray is going to – he's one of those guys, along with Jose Fernandez, that's the future of this league. So that's going to be an interesting game to see Lackey. First of all, which Lackey is going to show up? Second of all, if the good Lackey shows up, is he going to be able to outduel him? And it's going to be tough. The A's are a good team. They're 18-10.
It's going to be a great game. Tune in on Sunday.
What's that?
It's going to be a great game. People better tune in on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, for sure. A's are 18-10. They play hard. They play tough. They're just a bunch of guys out there playing because they love the game. And so that is, you see a lot of the Red Sox in them. But anyways, hope they take at least 2 out of 3.
On that roster.
Yeah. Hope they take 2 out of 3. Potentially 3 out of 3 would be unreal. Literally unreal because it won't happen. But that's going to do it for today, guys. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. We'll throw a link to the description. And as always, this show is brought to you by Standing O Sports. You can visit them at standingosports.com. Ryan, you got anything to add?
I don't.
All right, guys. We'll see you later.
Peace. Feel you. I'm going to Big Sean Wale tonight.
What?
I'm going to Big Sean Wale tonight.
I hate you. I love Wale, dude. I'm really Big Sean I could do without, but
I'll send you some snaps, dude. I'll be that guy.
You're gonna be one of those. I love those people, dude. Record. You know? Why would you enjoy the show, dude? That's just stupid. It doesn't matter. You can't enjoy the show if other people don't know you're enjoying it.
Exactly, dude.
So, like, what's the point of even going if you're not going to hold your phone up the whole time?
You're not. Did you even go to the concert?
No. In this day and age, no. You didn't.
No. Not at all.
Have fun at that, dude. Suck up here at UMaine.